Viceroy released their report on Capitec that had an immediate negative impact on the shares of the bank and its major shareholder, PSG. The market obviously wary of some of the potential consequences given Viceroy's previous analysis into Steinhoff. This is the founder of Viceroy, Fraser Perring.
The main issue that we found was that most of the competitors have been suffering since the financial collapse of African banks. And we started digging during or after Steinhoff about the consumer lending division. And we noticed a number of defaults or impairments. Capitec, however, doesn't appear to have the same level. You could argue that their protocols are better. However, it is the same customers in the same demographic. And amazingly, while others were suffering, Capitec were issuing longer-term loans. You can call them rescheduled. Refinancing, but in a subprime market, it's very difficult to forecast long-term loans. And specifically, we're talking the 61 to 84 month loan book. Amazingly, that made up near 100% of the growth from 2013 onwards, while short-term lending was in decline. We back-tested our figures, and we believe that they've been rescheduling or refinancing into a loan book to avoid the impairment that other lenders within the same industry have suffered. On top of that, there's also the depositor guarantee scheme, which wasn't touched on in Bloomberg today, but you have sort of as an exclusive, where we believe their capital will be significantly impacted once the initiation of a depositor guarantee scheme is implemented, if it ever is. We also look at the legal document that we obtained, which show reckless lending. It's quite clear that the, shall we say, the system for approval was very lax. And once the outcome of those court cases, which we're led to believe will happen in 6 weeks, it's likely that Capitec are going to have to rebate a significant proportion of their initiation fee. We don't believe that their balance sheet can actually maintain the delinquencies.
Two things that struck me, obviously, you cite these clients that were given advanced loans where they were essentially in default, and they went back to Capitec, obtained a loan which was larger than what they owed the bank. Were these around a particular time? The research seems to indicate around the 2013-2014 year, and I think you allude to that with respect to the loans that increased in duration during the same period. Are we talking current, or are we talking a particular point in time where this was taking place?
At the moment, we're seeing that the trend is still continuing in terms of refinance. It will take another year of accounts to see whether that validates, but we can essentially state that from 2013 to 2017, the maturity profile of Capitec's loan book has just extended. This contradicts their part of their business model, and also the evidence supported with our on-the-ground research, speaking to former employees and also borrowers.
So you say this is taking place essentially what Capitec is doing to make itself look good is recycling the loans to these impaired creditors by granting them new loans and then essentially treating them as new loans so that they don't appear to be deteriorating.
That's correct. They're pushing through a mechanism where, and I'll give you an example. Our analysis of African Bank, which I'm sure most of your listeners will know, was split into a good bank and bad bank from 2013 onwards. African Bank became, shall we say, a more prudent lender as a result. But amazingly, African Bank, with a prudent mindset, still have higher delinquencies and impairments than anything that Capitec. Essentially, Capitec are outperforming all of the subprime, despite being in the same geographic, the same client base, and the same industry. So what is their secret? We believe it's these long-term loans that are avoiding the need for any form of delinquency or impairment. They're kicking the can.
Just to contrast that, having looked at Capitec, a large degree of the loan issuance is automated. So in particular, when you refer to some of these clients that were granted loans when they were already in default with the bank, what percentage of those loans are still being done by agents versus the automated process that Capitec uses at many of its ATMs and branches?
Part of the reason that we didn't go into depth talked about the automation was that we've had varying feedback. Essentially, the relevant, shall we say, creditworthiness or affordability check from the borrowers we spoke to was limited at best, and that was on the automatic basis. The consultants, we don't know, because of those we spoke to, they essentially were trying to avoid impairments. And by consultants, for clarity, we mean people that have left the company 6 months or longer.
Frame this for us in terms of Capitec's balance sheet, which has at the moment, I think, gross loans. The last reported gross loans were 68 billion rand to the 2017 financial year, if I'm looking at this one table that you've provided. How big is the problem with respect to these loans?
Well, we've estimated it at somewhere in between 11 billion, and if you include all other liabilities, could be up to somewhere in the region of 25 to 30 billion.
25 to 30 billion. So that is almost half of its current loan, outstanding gross loans, you reckon are fictitious?
Oh, no, not of the gross loans. The gross loans, I would say, we're looking at somewhere in the region of 10 to 15%, but with the other liabilities added on in terms of rebates for initiation fees and also mis-selling or reckless lending, we think those liabilities will stack up to around about 25 to 30 billion in total.
You think that there's no equity value in Capitec. You, in fact, ask the Reserve Bank to look into this specifically because it should be put under curatorship. Because of this, short the share as well.
Yes, that's correct. But we fully disclose that.
Okay,
and
now.
Likewise, we, because we're short a share, we still have a duty to publish factual and accurate information.
The other thing that I would argue that differs, makes Capitec a little bit different from African Bank, is that it has more diverse revenue streams and a very large depositor base. But you think that this recalculation or re-estimation of the loans will be big enough to essentially render it insolvent?
Looking at the depositor base doesn't actually give security on the impairment of the loan. So essentially that money is spoken for by the depositor. But who is ultimately liable for the loan? So yes, we consider Capitec to be entirely uninvestable.
Just one other question. This is now the second South African company that you've focused on. Is this market particularly interesting? Is there some general reasons why you've been targeting South African companies? Do you find perhaps the regulatory environment is lax, or the way in which companies account and prepare their financials is dubious in general?
As it stands at the moment, regulators globally are constrained because of budget cuts and the like. What we noticed with the two companies in South Africa was that specifically they seem to have been getting away with it for long periods of time. So are the regulators lack, or are some of the analysts? Some analysts we've spoken to have raised concerns about Capitec over the years and have avoided investing, ironically to their detriment, but they stand by their opinion. So as a market, we are always focused on long-standing irregularities irrespective of which country. It just so happened that South Africa had two companies that we did in-depth research on, namely Steinhoff and Capitec.
That's Fraser Paring, who's the founder of Viceroy.